Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 726, Smoke and Shadow, recorded live on March 26th, 2020. Everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
I am your co-host, Godzilla T.
And welcome back to a guestless podcast. Another one. It's been a while since we've done a couple of these. So we've got a little bit of an update, probably a little bit of a shorter show as well, as we go through one of the shorter Halo books and go through our latest poll. But let's go ahead and do our Podtacular community update. So, GT, starting off with you, how was our Fraggin' Friday?
Our Fraggin' Friday went really well. We rezoned the Master Chief Collection. It was actually kind of a quiet night this time. I think everybody had kind of had their fill of video games with the country being home on quarantine.
So much so that Xbox Live was having issues.
Yes. Yeah, I got to play by myself.
Yeah, for how long? Like,
I streamed for 2 hours, or hour 45 minutes. It is right like at that. 2 hours. Yeah, yeah. I can't remember, but yeah, it was lonely.
I hopped lonely in for
the lonely.
I'm close to the beginning, and then I'm like, we can't join. And I think like King Louis was there, and maybe a couple others, and we couldn't join you. So it's like, well, this sucks.
Yeah, like Xbox Live was having some major issues, so I just played me. It was me against everybody else.
We'll see what happens tomorrow.
I hope it works tomorrow. Tonight, being on the Master Chief Collection subject, I hopped in on PC side, and I don't know if I was getting people that were not playing legitimately, or I just had a really bad connection. I couldn't hit crap. And then I had enough of that, so I switched over to Xbox, and it got a lot better. I still was having troubles, but at least I was hitting the shots that I thought I should be hitting. Yeah, I don't know. I just, people, they would sneak up on me, and I would never see them on the radar. It's like we were playing Sword Base, Reach.
Yep.
And I was in the big lift room. This guy comes up behind me and assassinates me, and there was never a red blip on my radar.
That's a little suspicious, unless he was camping.
No, I came up the lift before him, and I cleared the room. There was nobody in the room. I never heard the lift. I never saw a red dot. He just appeared out of nowhere. Because I was there for, a good minute and a half before
I got
assassinated. I don't know. I really don't know what was going on.
That is really strange.
But anyway, beside the point.
Okay.
So yeah, I wasn't having fun on PC tonight.
Mm. Anyway. Sorry to hear that.
But hopefully we have better luck tomorrow.
Yes. Hopefully Xbox Live is working. The last 2 weekends it hasn't been.
So far, I played with some other friends earlier this week and it was working. So we'll see what it does tomorrow.
We'll see when people are off work and actually playing tomorrow, because there are still people working.
Work? What's that?
I'm still working. Wow, I'm still working. We're just working from home. But yeah. So yeah, thanks for the update. Hopefully Xbox is working tomorrow. And again, if you want to participate, make sure you head on over to our Discord server. That's where we put the poll as far as what we're playing. And the options usually are MCC on PC, MCC on Xbox, or Halo 5 on Xbox. So, again, head on over to our Discord and check it out there. As far as achievement streams, did do it on Sunday with Bobby. Got one more achievement, and that was getting wins as Forge. And then we hopped into campaign to get some more of the optional and bonus objectives to try to get that achievement out of the way. I believe we have two more missions, maybe one more mission before we get the campaign one out of the way for the bonus and optional, and then we'll work on getting gold on, I think we need two more missions for gold, and then just a myriad of other multiplayer achievements. So pretty close to getting that one done.
Cool.
Yeah. For our Machinima Monday, we had Writing Spartan make another post for us. So thank you again, Jordan, for coming on and helping out with writing some of the articles. This one is The Rookies. It's actually a Halo 3 Machinima, but it's done within MCC. It's HD and everything. So people are taking advantage of MCC to kind of go back and remake, or, well, not necessarily remake, but make some machinimas using the older games, but it looks a lot better now.
Mm-hmm.
This is made by Rift EX2 Films, so you can check them out over on YouTube, and check out the rest of our Machinima Monday posts over on the website, podtaggler.com. For our streamer showcase this week, it should be a familiar name, but in case it's not, Mr. Monopoly is a Halo, really well-known Halo 2 speedrunner. He even has an achievement named after him in Master Chief Collection.
Never heard of him.
So he's been actually doing a lot of streaming lately, kind of going back and forth between speedrunning and doing MCC multiplayer. So if you have a chance to go over and catch his streams, he streams on Twitch. He's been pretty much doing it daily. There's been a couple of days he hasn't been streaming, but he has been a Twitch partner since early 2014. So he's been in the streaming game for quite some time. So there you go. For our company commendations, we're still working on the Achilles helmet. It'll take us a while to get there. An update for where we're at. Killing an opponent that shot you first, we are 18,573 out of 19,400. So we've actually made quite a bit of progress because we were just under 1,000 last show, and now we're up 150 on that one.
Yeah.
So someone's going to work there.
Yeah, we've had some luck with that one.
Yeah. And then for assassinations, we have 415 4,519 out of 4,900, taking over second place for Splatters, which is at 4,503 out of 4,900.
Wow.
Yeah. Assassinations took over Splatters.
Well, that's just because we haven't had
Castle Wars.
Castle Wars, yeah.
What a twist. So those are our company commendations. If you want to help us out with our company commendations, you can head on over to podtaggler.com/company. Do have plenty of slots available for you to go over and request to join. So you can head on over and do that. And Eric Kibu, Heroic is canon difficulty. By Frankie. Canon difficulty. Just stop that. Tales from the Foxhole. We actually have a new one that I missed last week. Oops, sorry.
Oops.
I forgot. I'm sorry. This one comes from...
That's why we have the show notes.
So the show notes link to it, but I didn't actually paste it in the show notes. Plus, we kind of changed things up last week with our guest. So
Excuses.
This one comes from Grunty over on our Discord. He says, Slayer on Tempest, my team, Red Team, started with only 3 players. At the moment, I decided I would just have some fun. So I grabbed a Warthog, and after no red players hopped in, I searched for the blue team for willing passengers. Perhaps in an attempt to hijack me, a blue player climbed onto the gun and decides to go for a ride. To show my appreciation for his trust in me, I drove to introduce him to my team. The blue didn't really like my team. From there, I was playing CTF, Capture the Friendship. That's cool. And I managed to score all 4 friends. Okay. At one point, I was driving the Party Hog with 2 blue players on board. They would shoot red team whilst I went for splatters on the other 2 blue players. When we weren't doing that, we were just doing stupid stuff like human towers and 360 suicide rockets. The blue team, confident in their ability to win, had become a 4-versus-2 fight, mucked around, and did silly stuff with me. Before too long, Jeff announced playtime would soon end. With less than 1 minute to go, blue team noticed they were losing 29-46. They played us like a damn fiddle, one of the blue players typed. Red team were declared the victors, but I honestly believe nobody lost that game.
That's actually pretty cool.
That's cool. Yeah.
See, you never know what's going to happen if you quit a game that's lopsided.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that, Grunty. That's one of those stories that you don't hear that often.
No.
That's really cool. Thank you for sharing that, Grunty. That was really, really cool. So yeah, you can head over to our Discord, share any kind of cool stories like that you run across playing Halo, or if you have any other Halo-related stories, doesn't necessarily have to be in-game. It could be just something that happens in life that's Halo-related, or there's some weird Halo thing. Maybe you were thinking of something Halo and the clock turned 117 and something happened. I don't know. But anything Halo-related you would like to share with us, we have a Tales from the Foxhole channel in our Discord. So head on over to our Discord and check it out there. And again, Grunty, thank you for your submission. You can also send us an email if you'd rather do it that way, or share it with us on social media, and we'll catch it that way. All right, let's jump into the news.
News?
Yeah.
What's news?
What's new?
We have news?
Yes, we have news.
Oh.
First news is playlist news.
Yeah, this weekend we got Core Play rotating in for Triple Team. And Warzone Turbo goes live.
Yes.
Next week we get Hardcore Super Fiesta rotating into Ranked for April, and Covenant Slayer rotates in for Core Play. Right now in MCC, SWAT's in for all games. It's the featured category. Fiesta is out for now. Action Sack's back in. They have Halo CE SWAT playing that on Battle Creek, Damnation, Prisoner, Hang 'em High, Chill Out, Derelict, and Wizard. And I don't know what they did, but on PC, the freaking Magnum doesn't shoot right. I don't know. It's the crosshairs are just weird or something.
So I saw someone on Twitter actually make a comment about that. If you aim with the little part that comes down from the top of the reticle on the pistol, apparently that's where it's aiming around right now. So they still haven't figured out that reticle for Halo's
CE. Well, it used to be it was the bottom one.
Oh. Did you get flipped?
And on Xbox, you would aim with the bottom of the circle.
Interesting.
If you basically put the bottom of the circle on their chin, on their neck, it would be a headshot.
Oh, well, what I'm saying is they think the bullet is being centered around not the actual center of the reticle, but the...
Yeah, I know. Yeah, okay. That's what I was saying. If you put the bottom of the reticle, the bottom of that circle, like on their neck, you know, just right here, it would move, the bullet would hit just above it and hit the face.
Interesting. Okay.
But anyway, so I got to adjust to that. I've got FFA SWAT on all the same max except Wizard.
Yep.
And it's globally dope double XP for Halo 5 and for MCC. And that lasts till the end of the month, doesn't it? Or are they extending that till next month?
They didn't say when it ends. It probably will just be there until this whole thing is done.
It'll be there until the virus is taken care of.
The pandemic. The flood.
The flood has infected the United States.
Infected. And China. New zombie.
Wait, what?
Anyway.
We have a community spotlight. And for the second week in a row, we had hours to look over it before the show started.
What? It's amazing what happens when they work from home, they actually get stuff done on time.
Right. They're not being distracted by meetings or hallway run-ins and that kind of stuff.
Or testing Infinite or
that too. Yeah.
You know,
hey, try this out. I want to see how it does.
Exactly. Although we still want them to do that because that, I mean.
Well, yeah, we do.
That's the game we're waiting on. So please, at 343, if you're listening, please continue to do that. That would be very nice.
But we are enjoying having the updates hours ahead of the podcast instead of minutes after the podcast.
Yes. Starts. Yes, this is true. All right. Heading on over to the browser window. Yes. Again, GT and I have...
Scary.
GT and I have picked our top picks from the community update. So, again, that's not what I want to do. There we go. Again, if you want to see everything that is in this update, you can head on over to Halo Waypoint to check that out. So, let's... You actually took a lot of the ones that I was going to pick, so I chose some other ones from myself.
We can choose the same ones.
I know we can, but to give a little more of a variety. Because
why be fair? I mean, come on. If we like it, we like it.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. This first one you put on your list. It's a...
That's just cute.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's a villager amiibo with a... It looks 3D printed. 3D printed Master Chief helmet, Reach armor, and rocket launcher.
You know what that reminded me of? Oh boy. It's an old reference. You're not old enough.
Clearly, because I don't get the reference. Hi, Laird. His greeting is just nerds.
Yep.
Okay. This one, this is one of yours up here. Elites by Lifeworker C.
That just looked cool.
Yeah.
I downloaded that one. That's in my wallpaper rotation.
Got Arbiter and Artas with bright blue energy swords. And it looks like it's just the library background from Halo 2. In the background. Yes, pins the next one, which was also on GT's list. Ghosts of Onyx by Sir Scar 3. This one looks really, really cool. Mm-hmm. It almost looks like a screenshot.
Almost, yeah.
Actually, I'm going to click on the Twitter to see if it is a screenshot or not. No, they don't say whether it's a screenshot or not. It looks like it could be.
Yeah, it's not a screenshot because, for one, you can't kneel.
You can.
You can't kneel, you squat.
Oh, that's right. You don't kneel in Halo 5. That's right. You could in MCC.
And
Halo CE and Halo 2, but yeah. That's right, you're right. And since this popped up, actually, you remember this drink water tweet that came out? So, that's there, if people are wondering. So, yeah. Okay, there we go, that works. So yeah, Ghost of Onyx, that was a really, really cool one. I really like that one, too. Next one on our favorites... This one I chose, Knife and Sword by Spartan CA. This one, I believe, it almost looks like a cosplay, but it is a render. Pretty sure. I'm going to check on this one, too.
I kind of figured it was a render with
screenshot.
The
No, it's a screenshot. Wow.
Oh, really?
It is a screenshot.
They must have done that with the...
How'd they get the background?
Well, they probably... I don't know.
Wow. Interesting. That's impressive that that's just a screenshot.
Yeah. That is.
Yeah. We're finding this stuff out at the same time you guys watching are. So, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, no, we don't check on this stuff ahead of time. Why would we do that?
We at least pick some stuff ahead of time, so we're halfway there. This next one, UNSC Base Camp by No Media Player. I almost put this one in the honorable mentions because we see No Media Player posting some really good stuff from time to time. But this is so good. It kind of gives me some of those Reach Star Wars vibes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Next one, I almost chose this one. Actually, I put it in the honorable mentions, Halo Codex. It has the Master Chief with the shotgun and the Elite going like, rah!
Yep.
It's Halo Cross Doom, which Yeah, totally makes sense. Next one is another one that's on your list, and it is Could We Make Any More Noise by Ethereal, which unfortunately can't get the whole thing quite on the screen share on the live stream, but you can get most of it there.
Just, you know, think Halo 3's stepping out of the drop pod.
There was a concept art that was very similar to this. And yeah. I think this is probably what, or that's what inspired this. Was it Halo 2 pins?
Yes, Halo 2, sorry.
Yeah, it would have been, yeah, it would have been Halo 2. You're right. You're right. Next one we have, this was honorable mention. This is by Co_Protocol, who works on Sins of the Prophets. So this is the, I don't know what the classes of UNSC, I should learn the classes of the UNSC ships. I really should. But this is the UNSC Triskelion, and it's one of the ships in Sins of the Prophets. This next one is one of your picks, GT, and it is a art piece of Isabel. This is by Dagger6Art on Twitter. Really cool piece. Really well done. Next one is by BaileyJX3, and this is Operation Oceanbreaker. Has a lot of different vibes in here. Kind of has the environment feel of ODST with the engineers and the spirit dropship and the courtyard stuff, but it has Spartans in it. It has Neo-D Spartan, the Mark V Spartan, and whatever the Neil with the big visor Spartan is. Forgetting what that armor set is. Artemis class ship. Thank you, Pins. Thank you for being our soundboard on that stuff. Next one, I chose this one, A Little Bit of Beautiful by Synthetic Gaudi 1. And just kind of springtime Halo. It's having, I'm going to guess that's maybe Cherry Blossom. I'm not sure, but.
Probably.
Cherry Blossom, watercolor or oil type piece of artwork. Has a very spring feel to it, which is kind of nice that we're actually getting into spring, but we haven't. Have been able to go anywhere, so.
Well, you can at least go outside and enjoy it.
Yep. And I think there's only maybe one or two other things. I think I'm. Did I miss this? No, this one's a tweet. Okay. There is a video that I put on my list. I almost chose this one, the Master Chief Mark VI.
That's a pretty cool one, too.
So there was this Halo CE CTF Blood Gulch Pro Strats video. It's like less than a minute long, but it's basically someone on red team playing on Blood Gulch, went in, grabbed the blue flag, got in the Warthog, and it looked like it was on a modded Blood Gulch map because there's a lot more vehicles on there than normal. And he was driving away in the Warthog, and he got about halfway across the map, and... It was on where you could actually drive a vehicle while you were holding the flag. So he died. The flag started bouncing, and it bounced almost all the way back to red base to the point where the person that died was able to jump off of the base, grab the flag, and score it. So yeah. Hey, Tepec! We're from... Wow. It's early or late for you. Thanks for dropping into Twitch, man.
Hey, what's up?
So yeah, take a look at that video if you get a chance. And then the last thing that I think I had on here for mine was that it? No, okay, that was it for mine. There was one more honorable mention, which was from Tom Jurassic, since he posts a lot of stuff. This is a tweet that he put out. It is a render of the D-77-TC Pelican dropship. So there you go. Those are our picks from the community spotlight. Again, if you would like to see all the things that were curated by Snickerdoodle over on the full post, then you can head on over to Halo Waypoint and check that out. Or the short link that they have for it, too, if you want to do it that way, is aka.ms/caps CS3-26TW. So all those letters are in caps. It is case sensitive, I believe, for that stuff. So yeah, check it out. You know what a really strange side effect of the pandemic is?
What's that?
Halo only had 5 tweets this week. between our last recording and today.
True.
One of them was a Fanfiction Friday. But still, there have been very, very few tweets out of the official Halo account this week.
Yeah, and I've noticed that my phone has been quite quiet when it comes to alerts.
Yeah, right? So our Fanfiction Friday, the UNSC Pillar of Autumn is a Halcyon-class light cruiser which was assigned to lead Operation Red Flag under the control of Captain Jacob Keyes. She eventually finds her way to Alpha Halo and begins to uncover the mystery of the Forerunners. So this was last Friday for this post. On over to our community highlights. We only have stuff from Play Griffball for this week. We have a couple of new articles. The first one is the AGLA PC Power Rankings. So this is the rankings of all of the individuals after the last season. And based on draft picks coming into the new draft league. So if you're interested in all that stuff, if you follow all that stuff over on the AGLA, then you can check out the power rankings over there. And then we also have a new article regarding the Halo 5 stats and reporting procedures for the Summer League, Reach PC, and the Halo 5 mini season that they have going on for console. So if you need to dig into how you're going to be reporting your stats for the PC Reach season and then for all the mini seasons that are coming out for the console, then make sure you go over and check out that post. On the community content side of things, we have some new podcast episodes to listen to. For HTS Pro Talk, we have episode 119, Did Somebody Say Halo Tournaments? Which there have been a lot of online tournaments actually popping up lately, so they have been all on top of trying to go over those tournaments, who is participating in them, who's putting them on, what dates they are. There are actually some that are starting to overlap each other.
Yeah.
So if you're interested to hear all the different opportunities that are available, HCS Pro Talk is actually pretty on top of it. NoobCombo.com is another place I highly recommend. They take great care and detail into all the tournaments that are going on, both community hosted and official, so definitely check out that as a good resource as well. On the Podcast Evolved front, we have Mission Debrief Episode 90, and this is for the mission Shield World in Halo Wars. We also have Episode 205 of the Podcast Evolved podcast, and this is talking about Halo Infinite and what there might be as far as AI. The title is just Infinite-AI. So I'm guessing I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, so I'm guessing they're talking about AI possibly in Infinite. We'll see. I'm a couple episodes behind on that one, but yeah, you can check it out. Finish the Fight has another bonus episode. I didn't know they were actually working on... Oh, no, maybe I did. But their latest bonus episode is Dr. Halsey's Journal. So, Pens,
if you need your fix, go listen to them.
Exactly. Yes, thank you. You took the words right out of my mouth. Halo Outreach Podcast has episode 33, and both of the hosts actually posted on their YouTube channels with different titles, which is very interesting. One of them said, in-depth developer discussion on Mythic Arena with Blaze. And then the other one posted it as Halo MCC PC News and Halo 2 Anniversary still on track. We're not necessarily not going to do it, Pins. It's just that if you need your fix, go there for the time being, and we'll get to it eventually. We're going to get to it. Just give us some time, okay?
We got to get Dust caught up at least.
Good topic for discussing tonight, actually, though. We've got lots of YouTube videos. Starting off with Hidden Xperia. The creepy lore behind all the Halo Combat Evolved maps. This was an interesting video to watch, because he takes the descriptions of the maps and kind of extrapolates what more the story could be. It's a very interesting video to watch if you have a chance to go watch it. Halo Canon has two new videos out, making up for some lost time, I see. The first one is a terminal locations and lore guide for Halo CE Anniversary, since it just recently came to PC. Which, didn't he do one of these before? I feel like he has. Maybe this is a revisit.
Probably. Probably, but he probably went through and just updated it for the higher resolution.
Yeah. And then he also has a skull location guide for Halo CE Anniversary as well. From Installation 00, we have three new videos. First one is the sixth installment of Project John 117, which I still haven't watched any of those yet, which I need to. Perfect downtime for that once I take advantage of it. And then the 19th installment of The Armory. And this one is the Spike Rifle, or the Spiker. And then there is a little preview of the Trillcast interview that Installation 01 did over on that podcast. So yeah. From UberNick, has Halo MCC PC been a success so far? It's a highly objective topic at the moment.
Well, it all depends on what you determine is a success. Are people playing it? Yes.
The amount of people that people were expecting depends on what you were expecting.
Mm-hmm.
iSpiteful has another customs video, which I believe we've played this custom before. Laser Dodgeball on Reach MCC.
Yeah, I think it's been a while though.
Yeah, just a couple of months, I think, right?
Laser Dodgeball?
Yeah.
No, that's not in my library.
Maybe it was someone else's library, then we had them. I remember playing it. Maybe it was like after you left and I had party and I gave it to somebody. I thought you were there.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Yeah, I have that one.
Okay.
Or I had that one. I may not have it anymore.
So, yep, there's Laser Dodgeball from iSpiteful. Ultimate Halo has a new one. Why strong launch content is crucial for Halo Infinite's success. And he echoes some of the points that we've made here on the show of like, okay, Forge needs to be there. All the game modes need to be there. Need to have a fair amount of the customization and good maps and all that stuff. So it's a good overall video to watch. General Heed has six new videos. First one is Halo 2, what happens if Arbiter is accidentally killed during a cutscene? And he has another one in here of in Halo Reach, what happens if Noble 6 is accidentally killed in a cutscene? So that's the first theme of some of his recent videos. And continuing on from last week, another one is, can you beat the Warthog run in a Wraith on Halo CE? Short answer is no, unless you do the speed boost to the vehicle like he did for the tank from last week. Halo 1, Master Chief's Secret Helmet. Halo 1, the Secret Flamethrower and Campaign, revisited on MCC. And then playing Halo MCC on a Nintendo Switch. We may have mentioned this before, where people have hacked a version of Android onto a Switch, and then it's basically just the Xbox game streaming on the Switch.
Well, actually, I saw a video earlier where someone has actually... they did something similar to that.
With...
No, wait a minute. Yeah, it was. They put Android on a Switch. Yeah, it was the same thing.
Yeah. It's called Switch Droid or Switch Android or something like that. Kevin Cool X has four new videos. First one is Halo 5 Legendary Warzone Firefight Removed, which it hasn't been removed yet. So I think he was posting this kind of in anticipation of it getting removed, but then with the post that they had last week of, hey, this stuff isn't actually happening yet. So, yeah. Unless he just didn't update
his title. Maybe it's just his thoughts on it being removed.
Could be. That's true. Halo 2 Anniversary Flight Update in 343 addresses Halo Infinite delay rumors. I think that was just based on the community update from last week. And then he has a Twitch highlights video, and then MCC update and new Halo CE playlist. Blood Gulch 24/7 idea and MC Global Double XP. So again, just kind of reacting to some of the recent Halo news. The Halo Codex has a short little fun video titled Next Stop is The Great Journey. And this is where he's either glitched the game or modded the game to where BR on see the mission, I believe it's Metropolis, where you start over the bridge. And he shoots the Scarab BR at a ghost, and the ghost and the Elite just go flying over his head. It's a fun little video. And then Marty O'Donnell, the Halo music extraordinaire, has a little video that he put up there, which I just put on here because there's Halo music backing it. And it's just called Walk.
Yeah.
It's just a new walk in the Washington, in Washington parks. And it's a nice little serene place and has the, what's the track called? It's something Woods, I think, from the Halo CE soundtrack. But anyways, there's that video. And then Team Respawn has three new videos, all multiplayer videos, just from streams or from multiplayer games. That's what we've got on the community content side of things. For community musings, we have our Halopedia Trivia Tuesday and Lore Thursday. What do we got, GT?
And let's see. Halopedia posted on Tuesday, did you know that during the development of Halo 4, a version of the Covenant Revenant was planned for inclusion, but was ultimately cut? It featured one driver and one gunner, and lacked the plasma mortar of the Reach version. It still exists in the game files. So maybe once Halo 4 comes to PC, we'll actually get to see that.
It'll be modded back, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've already put the Scarab back on in Reach.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to happen.
Yep. It totally and then, is.
For Thursday, Rural Warami was a Sangheili fleet master of the fleet of Valiant
Prudence.
Come on, mouth, work. He led the initial attack of the Fall of Reach and was presumed killed aboard his supercarrier, Long Night of Solace. I can pretty much say he was, because we killed him.
Depends on what part of the ship he was in. It's not the whole ship.
He was in the control room when we went and took over the control room.
Oh.
The
Elite?
Badass? Yeah, that's him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Well, no, hang on.
Well, that's right. Never mind. Yeah, you're right, Pence. We were in the refueler thing. Eric, we were in the refueler.
Yeah, so only the slipspace bomb.
Well, judging from where they typically put the control rooms on their ships, he probably did.
Maybe.
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 Not. But maybe. Anyway.
Eric Abu, it's Ro Barutame.
Barutame, yeah.
Anyways.
Somebody didn't put the phonetic spelling up there.
Yes, CIA. Know Your Halo. Actually missed a few days, but it's back. For today, today's question is, this colony was glassed in 2526 and was later the home of peace talks headed by Richard Sikibo between the Sangheili and humans in 2558. Options are Bliss, Harvest, Biko, and Meridian.
2526. Yep. Yep, I think I know which one it is.
Hunt the Truth should give you a clue.
Yeah. I think it's also referred to in a book you haven't read yet.
Probably. Which I'm down now only to 4 books, if you don't count things like Tales from Slipspace and Evolutions. So, making progress. So that is Know Your Halo for today. They're still posting them on a pretty regular basis. It looks like they just forgot it for a couple of days, and it's like, oh, oops. So it's back. All right, time for our topics of the week. First up is our Halo campaign poll results. So we put out a new poll, and we will probably have enough polls, or I'm going to try to think of enough polls to do it all the way up until Infinite comes out. So this week was, what is people's favorite Halo campaign? And we had the first-person shooter games, the RTS game, so Halo Wars and Halo Wars 2, the top-down shooters, so Spartan Assault and Spartan Strike, and I threw in there for good measure Fireteam Raven.
Yeah, see, I can't go with that. I can't go with Fireteam Raven because I haven't played it yet.
Which is fair.
And now I can't because we can't gather in.
Yeah. Anyway. At least for now, right?
I'm missing my mom's kitchen for breakfast on the weekends.
Aw. Make some good stuff.
Yeah, it's a little mom and pop restaurant here in town that we go to.
Very nice. It's cool. Well, it's the arcade game, Ace, so what do you expect? All right, so let's start off with the responses that we have in Discord. So our first one comes from UNSC Marine. He's also Peter Griffin, or I forget what his gamer tag is. Obi-Wan Kenobi, maybe, on Xbox. He says, Halo 2, definitely. The dialogue is great, soundtrack is phenomenal, gameplay is fun, story is great, although the cliffhanger wasn't.
Yeah. To this day, still sucks.
I'm going to add on a little bit to this. I mentioned in the original post to say why the campaign is your favorite, and I mentioned things like it could be the storytelling, it could be the graphics, it could be the engagement, the gameplay, that kind of stuff. So it wasn't just strictly to what the story was about. It could be however you personally find the campaign entertaining or interesting, that kind of thing. So it wasn't just limited to story.
Mm-hmm.
Carrying on. Ward 47 says, mine is Halo 3 for many reasons. It combined the strengths of the level designs from the first two Halo games and introduced so many creative ways that helped the replay value with the way to skull hunting was laid out. The best one is the final part of the Covenant where you had to jump through the holograms of the Halo rings to trigger the hidden skull to appear. Including the introduction of four-player co-op where all the avatars weren't clones of Master Chief. That's a very good point.
Mm-hmm.
Given what we know about Infinite, I'm not sure if that's an option, but it would be interesting to see campaign characters, and I mean, they did it in Halo 5 as well, but having campaign characters that are individual people mm-hmm. that do have some kind of lore connection. That would be nice. Okay. Next one is from Tepec, which I don't know if he's still in here. He was in the Twitch stream a few minutes ago. So if you're still here, shout out to you. Over from Halo Creation, which is a French Halo community. He says Halo 2 as well, because the Arbiter arc and the depth it brought to the narrative, plus the tricks, exploring everything, and all, so much replay value. Yep. Fuchs says, Halo 3 ODST. While short with a relatively thin story, it manages to use archetypes and style to give it a unique feel. The campaign sequences serves as a better Best of Halo sampler pack than Reach pulled off with more people and time. Yeah, I like it. Ace, who's also in the Twitch chat, he says Halo 3 ODST as well. And he says... and Fireteam Raven. Gratuitous Brick. That's a very interesting handle. Gratuitous Brick. He says, tough, tough choice, but I think I have to put Halo Reach because of how much I got out of it personally. It had some unique qualities that really appealed to me specifically, and I had literally been asking for a space level since Halo 2. I think a lot of people were asking for it back then.
Yeah, they're still asking for it.
I mean, it looks like with Infinite, we might have a...
Might get it.
We might have opportunity for it. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
I'm still hoping for my Holy Grail and underwater level. Technically, parts of Halo 2 were underwater.
Yeah, but there was no combat.
No.
And don't you remember? Spartans can't swim.
Yeah.
They go in the water, they die.
Right. There might be, well, yeah, and there's...
They can fall from orbit, but sure as hell they can't walk through a puddle.
Well, and maybe there's boats now because of the mega blocks or the mega constructs.
Could be.
There could be aquatic combat, might not be underwater, but you could be on water. Maybe.
Maybe.
Meet you halfway kind of thing. Anyways. I love the armor customization showing up in cutscenes. Just a magnificent little thing, and I have so many great memories of doing weekly Lazo challenges with my friends. really built up a strong tie to that campaign. Honorable mention to ODST for being very unique with great memories, and Halo 3 for how epic it felt playing it, and of course that legendary hog run that will always have a special place in my heart. There's water in orbit, Ace. It's called Comets. It's just frozen.
It's just frozen. It's just frozen. Just not liquid.
Exactly. Writing Spartan says, Halo 4 in terms of actual story, Halo CE in terms of world building and level design. Halo 2 is probably my favorite sequel, though. Grunty says, Halo 3. You finish the fight, and Halo 3 ODST is a very close second. And then Pins Halo, he says, Fireteam Raven for him, followed by Spartan Assault. Okay. I was not expecting that combo, but okay.
And Spartan Assault actually has a decent story.
It does.
I mean, you know, it's not my top one, but I mean, it was an enjoyable story.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. No, huh? You said GK, which was Fireteam Raven, and GH, which was Spartan Assault.
So that's technically supposed to be Halo 4 and ODST.
Oh, so
that's what he meant to put.
He meant GD and GG. Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. I was like, really, Pins? Okay. So scratch that. So, oh, he looked at the letters for the next row and not the... Okay. So he meant to say, as his primary being Halo 4, followed by Halo 3 ODST. Okay. Moving on. I know it wasn't perfect, but I loved Halo 4's story. It was told in a way that made you feel what was going on, and it really tugged at my heartstrings. I really hope that we see more of that character development from Chief in Infinite.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Before we go over to the Twitter responses, GT, what's your favorite?
Well, believe it or not, my favorite is still Halo CE. And it's just, you know, of all the stories that have been told, it's the one that always sticks with me. It's because, you know, this is where we got introduced to the whole genre of this game, the whole universe, I should say this whole universe. And it just, I like that story the best. I'm not saying that any of the rest of them are bad stories. Halo 5. But you know, that's the one that means the most to me, and so far on the list it's gone pretty much the way I thought it would.
Yeah, there's strong contenders for 2, 3 and ODST so far.
Yeah,
I think those are kind of the top picks with a couple other things sprinkled in. Alright, so let's head on over to Twitter. We got quite a few responses over there, so thanks everyone who responded. The responses on Facebook this week. So Twitter's making up for it. So thank you for the Twitter posts. Starting off with B-Train. For him, it's Halo 1 and not even close. The flood twist stunned me as a kid, and I was terrified to play these levels at night at that point in time.
Hey, dude, I was 30 years old, and I was scared to play them.
That's coming from a grown man.
Like I said. When I started playing Halo, I was in my 30s, and the first time I had a flood pop out around the corner, I just about wet myself. I was not expecting that. No.
Okay. Interesting.
Of course, you know, it come out around the corner and smacked me in the face, and of course, yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Next one here is from Haas. Good old Haas. He says, Halo CE. He's right there with you. First time, there is nothing like it. It's twists and turns and the introduction to the Flood. It was the only Halo campaign I played straight through in one day. Not that the others weren't good. CE just had magic to it. Yeah. Rage More Nerd. He says, gotta be Halo CE for him as well. He has a special place in his heart for ODST, though. With the soundtrack and the ambiance.
Oh, no, yeah. Halo 2 and ODST rank right up there with it, too.
Yeah, for sure. Late Night Gaming, or Late Night Halo. He says it was a hard one for him to choose, and he didn't actually choose one. He said Halo CE for its combat, Halo 3 for its visual presentation and soundtrack, and then Halo 2 for its story. Making some tough calls if I can't get people to choose one. Duquesne said it's ODST for him, primarily because of Buck.
It's a good reason.
Yep. Beowulf. I haven't seen a Beowulf appearance in a while.
Who is this Beowulf you speak of?
He's the one that usually, if you have problems with your internet, he used to be the one that would actually be the cause of that.
Oh, that's who that was.
Now it's just
Bobby. It's been so long. It's been so long. That, you know, I wasn't even sure he still existed.
He said, ODST 100%. Playing as Chief is great, but we were brought down to a level that we could relate to in the future. The story was compelling, and the music to this day gives me goosebumps. It's a refreshing experience that I think the series needed and did very well. Also, Buck.
Like I said, nothing more needs to be said.
Pretty much, yeah. Misa Red says Halo 4 and Halo 5 are her top two favorites. Primarily for campaign, graphics, storytelling, variety, and engagement. The way it just sucks 5 hours out of you and you don't even know it. Halo 2 is right up there for her as well.
Halo Wars 2.
Sorry, Halo Wars 2. Yes, thank you. Next one comes from Oi. O-U-I-E-Y. With underscores on either side for his Twitter handle. Anyways, he says, CE is probably my favorite. That or 2. Primarily because of the weapons are great. And the art is the pinnacle of the franchise for him. Okay, I'm going to go into the speedrunning round. Next one from DraftDude17, he says CE for him. Jason underscore X117 says ODST for him. Probably because of the Alpha 9 characters and all that sweet jazz. Halo 2 Vista counts as Halo 2, Ace.
Yeah, but it's Vista.
Still Halo 2.
No, Halo 2 Vista. it's Halo 2 Vista.
That
you didn't have the Halo 2 Vista ghost in Halo 2.
Huh?
You didn't have the floaty ghost in the console version of Halo 2.
Yeah, you did. Ghost of Lockout.
No.
Yes. Ghost of Lockout was on Xbox.
The ghost that you drive.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Vehicle physics?
Sorry. Okay. Gotcha.
Yes, I know about the ghost on Lockout.
All right. Next one comes from Dan Owens. Halo 3 ODST for him. Cold Dryer or Cold D117, he says Halo 4 for him. Followed closely second by ODST. At BB Bauer B for him, ODST and 4 are tied. For UG Bums Janus, or Janu, what the heck? He says, tough one for him. I suppose the one thing that's coming to mind really is Reach. Just knowing what comes at the end and how it actually all plays out, well, just so well done for me. Let's see, next one, Sci-Fi Guy 117, Halo 4 hands down. Is the best written of all the games. It finally makes Chief a character in the games with depth, development, and growth. Cortana's story is also amazing. Her design with her impending death is heartbreaking. And the way she and Chief deal with it is just amazing. The didact and the story of the Foreigners is also spectacular. And I love how it tied back to the Foreigner saga. I don't think we'll ever get a Halo that as well written as 4 ever again. This was really something special. Fortunately, not everyone agrees with you, but...
Well, like I said, you know, like I've said many times, the one mistake they made was 4. And this is the biggest mistake as far as the campaign is. They made the trilogy required reading.
Yes.
If they could have done the same story without requiring the external fiction, it would have been a lot more successful.
I agree.
Because a lot more people would have got it. That said, it is a great story.
If you read the books.
For that game. I mean, even if you haven't read the books, well, reading the books makes you understand the Forerunner side of it more. That's really the only side of it really affects. But the interaction between Chief and Cortana, that story right there, you know, if you just look at that story, that's not in the external fiction anywhere. That is, it's a really heart-wrenching story, and it's a great story. And that's the way the game was written. The way Bungie wrote Halo 1, Halo 2, and Halo 3, where you yourself are stepping into the suit, you know, to where they want you to take ownership of the character. There was still just a little bit of Chief's personality in there. Yeah, he didn't have a lot of lines, but when he did speak, it gave you clues as to his frame of mind. And we were starting to see that personality even more in Halo 3, especially when he rescues Cortana, when he breaks her out of High Charity.
I honestly never thought to think about it, but you're totally right.
I mean, you know, as the original trilogy came on, we got to see a little bit more of Chief's character. And Halo 4 was just the next step after that. But yeah, I totally agree with him. But yeah. We've had that discussion many times.
Yep. Continuing the speed run. Next one is from James Sackerson 2, or James Ackerson 2. He says, between Halo 3 ODST and 5 for him. Oh, for atmosphere, visuals, and gameplay, Halo 2 and Halo 4 have best stories. Halo Wars games are the most complete packages. Sith Vinator, Halo 4 with Halo 2 is a close second. Big Dog Mills, ODST for story and multiple perspective, Halo 4 for visuals, Halo 2 epic quest feel, and Halo CE for the OG Warthog run. XD Ranker, Halo 3 for him. DMCG117 on Twitter. Possible to answer. Every campaign besides Halo 5 had a great story. Super tier, Halo 1 through 4. A tier, ODST and Reach. F tier, Halo 5.
We don't need to know what F stands for.
Flood? Flood level? Miri Jujubes. Story-wise, go with Halo 2. Gameplay-wise, CE, but 3, best campaign overall. Or Zach Shermer 88. Either Halo 4 or Halo 5 for him. Theater 184, Halo Reach. MVI Spartan 117, Halo 2, Stormtrooper, Halo 3, Typographic, ABC as easy as 1, 2, 3. all seriousness, though, for him, Halo 2, Chris D. Animation, he loves 1, 2, 3 ODST and Reach equally. That doesn't answer the question. Future Roscoe, Halo 4, Big Nasty, Halo 3. For gameplay and visuals, CE, close second for gameplay and level design, ODST for presentation and story, Rail Ronin, Halo 3, Johnson, basically, O39 UNSC, Halo 3, DJ Jub 47, Halo 2, Baron 76, ODST, and Skamatu, ODST. And I forgot, I didn't mention mine. Mine is going to be Halo 2.
Somehow, I kind of figured that.
Which, it used to be ODST, but I think more recently I've really appreciated more of that kind of dichotomy of having the Chief story and the Arbiter story in Halo 2.
Yeah, but in ODST, you get 4 stories.
Or 5, depending on how you look at it, but yeah.
But yeah, I understand. Between Halo 2 and ODST, it's a tough pick.
Yeah, I think 2, 3, and ODST were probably our top contenders in this list.
Yeah. I mean, overall, of the Bungie games, Halo 2 and Halo 3, in my opinion, are probably their best written story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying, you know, with me picking CE, that's the one that, you know, the reason I picked it is because that's the one that I have an emotional attachment to. Doesn't mean I didn't enjoy the other games. But, you know, of the games that Bungie wrote, Halo 2 and ODST are, in my opinion, their best actual stories.
Yep.
in as you know as written.
I would agree. ODST is used to be my favorite, and it's my second favorite still. Yeah, for sure. I'm surprised there weren't more Halo Wars picks. I know there were a couple, but I'm surprised there weren't more.
Well, with Halo Wars and Halo Wars 2, they were kind of marketed to a different demographic or different
sure
demographic of people. People that weren't probably really into Halo for the story. They were in it for the gameplay. It's like me, you know, I don't play RTSs except for Halo Wars.
Same.
And, you know, a lot of RTS players don't really play first-person shooters.
Yeah, there's not a lot of crossover there. Good point. So that was our poll for this week. Next week, I'm debating on whether we're going to do soundtracks or FPS multiplayer. Because obviously multiplayer for Halo Wars and the first-person shooter genres are nothing like each other. So we'll stick with the multiplayer. So it'll be one of those two for next week. And obviously check out social media for the poll. It'll be one of those two things next week. All right. It is time for us to jump into our book discussion. Actually, Eric Hubu just said, had a response to the poll. He said Halo 4 was his choice for the poll. But yeah, we're going to be talking about Halo, Smoke, and Shadow. This is one of the shorter books that Halo has put out. It's not short, like quite like the one that Joe Staten did.
Shadow of Intent?
Yeah, that one. I think it's a little bit longer than that. Maybe not. I don't know. It's one of the shorter books. It only took me about 4 hours to read. And it's broken up into four parts and written by Kelly Gay. This will go into Halo Renegades, which will be our next book review. I'm not sure if we'll do that next week or maybe in a couple of weeks. We'll figure that out here after we talk about the book a little bit. Again, like we said for a previous podcast, if you want to hear a podcast where they talk about all the details and cover all the things in the book, definitely recommend checking out other podcasts like Halo Completionist or Podcast Evolve. They do a lot more of the in-depth stuff. We're just going to kind of hit the bullet points, talk about the things that really caught our attention, that kind of stuff. So, GT, where do you want to start with this one?
Honestly, with this book, it's really amazed me the angle they picked for this particular book. This is truly the every man's look at the Halo universe. I mean, this entire book is told from a civilian's perspective, which this civilian happens to be a salvager. Her name is Rione Forge.
Which should give you a hint.
We'll just get that out of the way right now.
I will say, before we move on much further, I'm really impressed, again, I'm impressed by how they tied in so many different parts of the established universe up to this point together.
Mm-hmm. Yes. They tied in a lot.
They really did. I was like, whoa.
This book has a lot of little cookies for the lore nuts. There are references throughout the entire universe with different characters.
Mm-hmm.
And how it moves back and forth between where you think it's going to go and where it actually goes.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this story.
I did too.
This rates right up there with some of my favorite stories. And it doesn't tell any story about Spartan anywhere or ODSTs or nothing. You know, this is a story of a civilian
mm-hmm.
and her crew.
Yep. And the other cool thing too, and it's just a testament to how good it was. Once I was done with this book, I went straight into reading Retribution.
Mm-hmm.
It was that good. I'm like, I need to figure out what the next part of this book is or this mm-hmm. story.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. It's a really fun read. And in Tales from Slipspice, they whetted our whistles with the first chapter.
Or part one.
Part one of the book, which basically follows Rione from a familiar world, Venezia.
First tie-in right there. So we don't learn what her last name is until they reach the
We don't figure that out until right about there.
Somewhere around there.
Anyway, we also get to get introduced to a character that we know about, Nor. She's the head of the auction house that the salvagers bring their goods to.
We've seen her in the previous trilogy.
Well, she made an appearance, but she didn't really have a big part. But her husband did.
Mm-hmm.
And he wound up
dead for it.
Paced. He kind of got stuck on a ship that went boom. A Covenant ship that went boom.
With a crazy engineer.
Yeah. But like I said, there's a lots of story tie-ins throughout the entire book. I highly recommend you read it so you can find them all. But the way this works, Nor gives the salvagers information, and it's up to them to follow up on it and see if they can find the salvage. Well, Nor gives Rione a tip that somebody else has salvage. And this is where we start kind of getting a little backstory of Rione about how she's all work, no play type person. And we get introduced to two of the characters, Lessa and Kip.
Mm-hmm. Or siblings.
No.
Oh, is it Nico and Lessa?
Nico and Lessa are okay. Siblings. Kip is their engineer.
Bye.
Which he has a special place in everybody's heart after reading this book. But needless to say, Les is really excited that Rion's needs to talk to somebody about some information. So,
no.
And I love this line. And she goes, and that's Rione speak for, how did she put that?
I know what line you're talking about.
Next thing we'll be doing is hauling ass across the Via Casalina. So it's the way it's delivered. It's really neat. And the characters they play off of each other very well. It's a lot of fun just listening to their interactions.
Yeah, and like you said, it really gets down into the weeds of what is it like in the civilian world of the Halo universe.
Oh, and this also is post Covenant War, just so everybody knows what time frame.
Post Covenant War, post Kilo 5 trilogy, pre Halo 5.
Correct.
This is January 2557. So
this is actually just before Halo 4 takes place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lots of interesting tie-ins.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, she goes and gets, or Rion goes and finds Ruse. How do you say his name?
Rouse.
And
I think that's how you
say it. I'm assuming the audiobook you're listening to have probably the closest official pronunciation of those names.
Yeah. Sort of. Well, a lot of times it will vary between who actually read the book. Like for Retribution, they have a different narrator.
Oh.
That's okay. The first time I listened to it, it was actually really annoying. It's still a little annoying, but I've gotten over it.
Gotcha. So yeah, Rouse gives her the information after negotiating how many credits it's going to be for the information and what cut Rouse is going to get depending on what is there. And it's just a single picture of a ship that is buried in ice and snow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's it starts out at 40,000 credits, and then he winds up at like 10,000 credits and 15% of the haul.
Yeah, basically arguing like, what's the danger of going there, and is it actually credible, and yada yada yada.
Mm-hmm.
So they get there. There's a whole lot of discussion and some more explanation of what life's like in the outer colonies, and
we do also get introduced to Nico, which is Les's brother.
Mm-hmm.
They're not kids, but they're kids.
Teenagers.
Early 20s-ish.
Oh, are they really?
Late teens, early 20s.
Okay. I was thinking more kind of like late teen type.
Like I said, late teen, early 20-ish era. And then we also meet, what's his name?
I'm blanking out too. I'm looking for his name on the Halopedia article here.
Yeah.
How is his name not? Oh, Cade. There he is.
Cade, yes. Which he is an ex UNSC soldier. Actually, I do believe he was actually an ODST. Oh, and I got to make a point here. Rouse's place, it's a bar, and it's called Tiny Birds. The reason it's called Tiny Birds is right there in the name, Tiny Birds, covering the ceiling in little cages. So you can imagine what the place smells like.
Yeah.
Somebody's a little obsessive about their birds. But anyway,
and
it's just one of those little things that you don't get with a lot of stories.
Makes a good place to have a conversation without anyone overhearing what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Perfect place for it.
Whole new flavor to your liquor, too.
Oh. Okay. That made my stomach turn a little bit. Anyways, they get to this find, and it's frigid outside, so they put on their cold gear, and they go in, and was it Kip who notices that it's the UNSC Roman blue, so they're trying to figure out...
Well, actually, Rion identifies it when they're inside. I believe it's when they actually see the name.
Okay.
Kip is their resident ship nut. He's really, you know, he's the guy that builds the model ships. You know, he really likes, you know, he's the modern or the 26th century version of a gearhead.
Yep.
What he is.
For starships.
And he recognizes the Roman blue right off the bat. And it is a Halcyon class cruiser. Just like the Pillar of Autumn. Yep. And they notice that a sizable chunk of the ship is missing because it's been burned in half by Covenant weapons. Yep. And has hit the ground very hard. But they go inside. Rion and Kip head for the bridge. And the rest of them spread out to, you know, look for other salvage, you know, light weapons, medical supplies, you know, anything that they can easily salvage. The one thing with Nora's clearinghouse, she does not deal in heavy weapons. No ships, no weapons of mass destruction, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's light arms, materials, things like that.
Things that could easily kind of go under the radar of higher powers that be.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they decided to like ransack all the medical supplies and some of the smaller ordnance, but leave the heavy ordnance untouched. And they would report it back to UNSC under the UNSC Salvage Directive.
Mm-hmm. Well, while Kip and Rion are checking out the bridge, she goes into the captain's, I don't know, what do you call it, ready room or office or whatever you want to call it. Well, I don't know if it was the captain's quarters, but it was more like an office space, it sounded like to me.
Mm.
I don't know. There's usually that little room off the side of the bridge that the captain can go to plan and things like that.
According to the Wikipedia article, it's his quarters.
It could be. Anyway, she finds his computer terminal, takes it apart, and pulls the data chip out of it. and she starts reading through it, and she finds a little piece of information where the Roman Blue was sent to a familiar planet. We may know this.
Yep.
Arcadia, to pick up a buoy left by the Spirit of Fire. Or no, sorry. Yeah, that's right. The Roman Blue. And at the time, it was captained by, damn it, I'm blanking.
Well, Arcadia and Spirit of Fire, that'd be Cutter.
No, the Roman Blue was captained by somebody else.
William Webb.
No, that's who was making the report. The person that was supposed to pick up the buoy. I think it was Hood. No, Captain, it wasn't Hood.
Well, Hood? According to the Wikipedia article, Webb describes being fresh on board following Captain Hood's transfer to the UNSC Burlington.
Captain Hood, yeah. So, Lord Admiral Hood. Mm-hmm. See? Another tie-in.
Talking about tie-ins, Erkibu said that Kip Silas is also referenced in Nightfall. Under the second story.
Yes, he is.
So there's another freaking tie-in.
But anyway, Hood, instead of grabbing the buoy and running, engaged the Covenant fleet. But getting back to the data, this is the first real piece of information that Rion has gotten about her father, one John Forge, and the ship Spirit of Fire.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's a magic button, because right after that, the ship is under attack by an unknown assailant.
Yep. A little suspicious.
Just a little.
Just this little. So Rion orders all of her folks back to the ship and says to take off and hide, and she narrowly escapes getting
glassed
to death.
Basically.
Yeah. And then she radios in, gets back on the ship, and I think they head back to Venezia, right?
No. They actually go to the nearest comm relay after that.
Oh, that's right. That's right. To tap in to find more about the Spirit of Fire, the Roman Blue, see if there's been any chatter.
Mm-hmm. Well, try to figure out where, because there was a Covenant ship, which was...
Oh, the one that comes up later? The Radiant Perception?
The Radiant Perception, which is the ship that the Roman Blue was supposed to not engage, but did. Yep.
And they picked up the buoy.
So, Rion and her crew go to the communication relay to do research on it to try to figure out where it is.
And if you read the book, there's a little... spy work going on.
A little bit.
On the Ace of Spades.
This is where we find out that there's somebody reporting back to Oni.
Yep.
Don't know who yet, but someone.
But we know.
We know because we've read the book, but...
Pin says Kip needs to be taken out back and beaten like a redheaded stepchild.
Shh. You're spoiling it. Oh.
I think it was.
Yes.
Guess we should have put that disclaimer. Yes,
it is Kip.
Yeah.
Well, if you haven't read the book by now, it's your own
fault. Right. We've said we're reading the book, and we've said if you want to learn about all the details, go listen to other podcasts about it.
But yeah, it's a little twist.
Yeah, that was interesting. Like, wait, who's the spy? And I started trying to figure out who the spy was. And I'm like... Mm-hmm.
I did the same thing.
I narrowed it down to being either Kip or Cade. And then mm-hmm. as the book went on, Cade kind of fell off my radar. I'm like, I don't think it would be Lessa or Nico. They seem too much of kind of like innocent
mm-hmm.
younger folk. So Kip was kind of like, okay, by the time it was revealed that it was Kip, I figured out that it was Kip.
Yeah. But they figure out with pulling some strings with Nor. They figure out where the Radiant Perception went down. Mm-hmm. They get out there to salvage the buoy, and they find a very familiar elite.
Yes. Another connection.
Another tie-in. This this time into Halo 4. Mm-hmm.
Anyone remember Gek?
Yeah. He's the elite in Spartan Ops that didn't have a helmet.
Yep. And had the nice, ugly scars.
Yeah.
And the missing eye.
And now we know how he got the missing eye.
Yes, we do.
But that's a little later on.
Yeah.
They also observe that, well, after they've retrieved the buoy, and...
We're going that far.
let me step back a little bit.
I was gonna say,
there is a reason. there is a reason nobody has salvaged the radiant perception yet, and it's a reoccurring reason that has a tie in to another part of Nightfall, Hunter Worms.
Yep,
it's assumed, and nobody's tested this, that the radiant perception was infested by hunters. And nobody had the oomps to go there and find out.
Yeah, not even the Covenant did.
Yeah.
Because it was like the hunters were like the only ones left, and they like there were reports that they were like killing people for food or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, even the Covenant doesn't want to screw with hunters.
Nope. So, yeah.
Just, you know, small detail.
Just a bit. So, yep.
But they get there, and they do find one hunter. And this is kind of a heart-wrenching moment in the book.
When they actually get there, yeah.
When they actually get there, you know, they're sneaky, sneaky, sneaky. They have, believe it or not, they have active camo units.
Mm-hmm. And at this point, did they know that Gek was there?
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, they were...
Well, they knew that there were elites there. They didn't know it was Gek. Right.
But yeah, so they knew that there were elites there trying to get the ship. Because I think it was part of the conversation that they had with Nor was that, hey, there's Covenant there. They're trying to take the ship because of this...
No, they didn't. They didn't figure that out until they got there.
Got it.
They were checking for life signs from orbit, and they found hunter life signs, and they found elite life signs
that were not on the ship.
But they were not on the ship. They were on a war freighter outside the ship.
Right. So they landed on the far side, where they could walk down and not be detected, and then sneak mm-hmm. around the ship to. Because they didn't want to interrupt the Covenant. They just wanted to get the buoy and get out. Yeah.
This was trying to sneak in, sneak out, and nobody knows better. Mm-hmm. But while in there, Cade stays to keep an eye on the hunter, and Rione goes looking for the buoy. Well, while she is looking for the buoy, the hunter wakes up and startles Cade, and he basically knocks himself out.
You're an ODST man. Come on.
Keep in mind, he hasn't been in for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Things change. Anyway. But this hunter, she finds the buoy, and the hunter comes looking for her. And she feels this voice. And I say feels because the way the book describes it, she didn't hear it.
Right.
It's like somebody was talking to her psychically.
Mm-hmm.
And if I remember right, it says kill or die.
Yep.
And it's the hunter. It wants to die.
It's lost its bond pair.
Well, yeah, it was a bonded pair, and it lost its mate. And, you know, it wanted to die.
Mm-hmm.
And it threw Rione for such a loop because it didn't have, you know, generally it had, you know, you see a hunter, they carry their shield, they have their assault cannon. This hunter didn't have any of it. It just, you know, had basically its body armor, no shield, no cannon. And it wants Rione to shoot it. And of course, one, A, Rion's scared out of her freaking wits. Two, she doesn't want to shoot because she doesn't want to alert the elites. And it's really weird because the hunter kind of stomp charges her to try to, you know, egg her into shooting it, which she finally, the hunter gets shot and dies. And then they, you know, run for their life back to the ship. Well, while they're still on the ground, because they're kind of hiding out, waiting for the elites to kind of quit looking for them so that they can leave, they notice that the elites are chasing something. And they figure out that it's one of the other salvagers.
Yep, Ramshalva.
Ramshalva. And they quickly get together and, you know, they fly out there and they rescue him. And then they, you know, they just bolt for the stars.
Yep.
Well, after that, Nico very carefully dismantles the drone after listening to Serena say, access denied, access denied. You know, at first he thought it was kind of sexy until it was like 6 hours later. Yeah. Access denied.
Yep. But dang, he persisted and he finally got the buoy.
Yeah, he finally got the information out of the buoy, which led them to the coordinates for the shield world that the Spirit of Fire flew to in Halo Wars, where they took Anders. Well, I should say took them to the debris field that was the shield
world. Right. Because as you remember in Halo Wars, it kind of blew up.
Yeah, it kind of went.
It went boom, boom.
It went really big, really big boom.
Forerunner boom, boom.
Big bada boom. They get there and they get into the debris field. And of course, they're looking for the next clue.
Right.
They're chasing the Spirit of Fire. They're not chasing salvage. They're chasing the Spirit of Fire. And
when was the point where Ram told Rion that they were tagged? Or when did they find out
that was that? Well, they already knew they were tagged. They'd already found one. They knew that they knew they were tagged when the Roman Blue got obliterated. And Nico spent a couple of days searching the ship for the tag.
Well, no, like the Covenant tag, not the Oni tag.
That's they never did find the Oni tag until
right
after the book's over. They found one Covenant tag. What Ram said is that he said, I'm tagged. We're all tagged.
Okay.
And that was just before they were getting ready to put him in cryo to suspend his, you know, put him in suspension to save his life till they could get him back to medical, a hospital because he was injured beyond their capabilities of helping.
Didn't they go to Venezia before they jumped to the shield world? No.
Nope. They went straight to the shield world. They didn't return to Venezia until the end of the book.
According to the Halopedia article, they did, unless it's wrong.
From what I remember, they went from the Radiant Perception. Then they went into... I don't remember them going back to Venezia.
I thought there was some time between when they left Venezia and before they went to the Shield World that they went back. Because, like, I thought because of how long it took for them to actually get into the buoy, that would have been their first thing to do is, like, while they were trying to get more information to see what the next clue was, they would have gone back to Venezia. Anyways, whether they did or not, they...
No, because they were hiding outside of Arcadia, behind one of the other planets in that system from Geklar. Then Geklar found them, and they ran to...
I don't remember the details here, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm kind of browsing through this. This is the area where we find out that Kip Silas is an Oni operative, and that he... was from Cedra.
Right. Anyways, they do make it to the shield world. That's all explodey bits. And they find a piece where they could land and start trying to explore, try to find their next clue. I forget what was it that they were looking for specifically when they got there. They were looking for like another buoy, right?
Well, they were actually looking for the ship.
Well, yeah, but after
they thought the Spirit of Fire was still there. But when they got there and they found the debris field, they found a big, like a wing of a Covenant ship,
mm-hmm.
which Kip identified with the computer's help. And their sensors picked up a rock or a section of the shield world that still had atmosphere.
Oh, that was it. Okay.
So they went to that point thinking, well, maybe the Spirit of Fire crew has, you know,
hold up
inside this structure. They get there, and while they're there, turns out somebody was coming out the door as they were coming in.
Yeah, because they were tagged.
Yeah. There was another tag. You know, Nico did find a tag and they destroyed it, but there was another tag that they didn't mm-hmm. find. Well, there's actually a couple.
There's several tags. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, on their way out, they ran into Gek and his legion of all people. And I don't remember the exchange that went on, but I know that there was, it seemed like how the book was describing it was kind of the control room that you see in Halo Wars where Anders mm-hmm. touched the big kind of ball looking thing.
Yeah. Well, as Geklar's leaving, fight ensues and he throws Rion at the control panel. She touches it and it activates the
room
monitor.
Yeah.
The monitor, well, what's left of the monitor for the installation. Because in the reason I say what's left is because as the shield war is being destroyed, it was basically copying itself from one piece to another, trying to save itself. And of course, once you copy it so many times, it starts to degrade.
Was it copying or sound like it was trying basically jump from place to place?
Well, it was. That's how it was was how it was jumping. It was copying itself from one place to another. And not all, you know, every time it copied itself, it lost a another piece of itself.
Yeah, so it's a partially functioning Forerunner AI.
Yeah, which is still immensely more powerful than any human mm-hmm. AI, even in its fractured form. But during this fight, Cade is killed by Geklar.
And Gek gets a nice scar and an eye.
Rion shoots Geklar in the face. Mm-hmm. And that's how he loses his eye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, eye.
And the one thing with Kip, or not Kip, with Cade and Rion's relationship, of the people on the ship, Cade and her have the longest relationship.
Mm-hmm. And they had actually talked about, like, kind of up until this point of actually seriously considering a relationship.
Mm-hmm. They had an on-again, off-again relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of the friends with benefits type deal.
But they wanted to make it more permanent.
Yeah. But, you know, it's one of those things that you should have done.
You didn't. And
yeah,
unfortunately, that's that.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's how things work.
But the Forerunner AI basically says, take me with you. So mm-hmm. they take the AI, and eventually, I think it was Nico got all excited about the AI.
Well, yeah, he's the tech head.
And everyone else was very unsure of it.
Well, the way this works out, what happens is the AI pleads with Rion to not leave it there. And Rion, being as distraught as she was, takes the AI and, you know, lets it download into a chip, and she puts the chip in her pocket and goes back to the ship. Well, while they're taking off, and you know, they're in space now, the AI announces himself in the ship. He was like, "You're supposed to be on a chip on my desk." And he's like, "Well, most of me is." Just a little bit.
Yep. Yeah, just kind of like sneak into some systems and,
you know, at, you know, this is before, you know, she actually downloaded him on the chip. He was actually already started infiltrating her ship, but he's just a little bit.
Which is why he was named.
If anybody hasn't figured out, that's what they wound up calling him. Mm-hmm. And then they turn around and they head back to Venezia. And he he tweaks the slip space drive a little bit and gets them back to Venezia in hours.
Versus weeks.
Weeks.
Because of what, took them 2 weeks to get there?
Hours, if I remember right.
No, like when they went to the Shield World the first time, yeah. It was like 14 or 16 days or something like that. So yeah, back in hours, which I think, didn't it basically shoot the slip space drive to not work anymore?
Oh yeah, he cooked the slip space drive.
And sorry if I'm getting into the next book, but didn't the AI figure out Kip was the spy? Or was that in the next book?
The AI figured out that you don't find this out until the next book.
I'm jumping ahead a little bit.
Till the beginning of the next book. Well, since you brought it up, the AI on the way back does find all the tags and finds the Oni tag.
And promptly tries to disable all of them.
And, well, he
basically does.
A little bit helps Nico find the tags and destroy them. And in the process of doing that, they figure out that that Kip is the one that placed one of the tags. And of course, you know, Kip calls for extraction and all that stuff and goes back to Oni.
Mm-hmm.
But that's more into the next book.
Got it.
Finishing up the book, it's basically Rion dealing with the Lost, with the whole crew dealing with the Lost of Cade. Because, you know, Cade was Rion's on and off again boyfriend. But with Nico and Lessa, he was kind of like their father.
Well, and the book also describes a little bit more of the relationship that she had with her father, with and how she didn't really want to lose anybody. So losing Kate just utterly wrecked her emotionally.
Exactly. I mean, she lost her father when she was 6.
Right.
When she turned, was it 14? No. 16 or 17? I think it was 17. She was actually headed down to the recruitment office to enlist when she ducked into a bar of all places because she was having second thoughts.
And she ran into some other salvagers.
And this is where she ran into salvagers that got her into the business. Mm-hmm. And on their ship, which is the Akon, that's what they called it, is where she met Kate.
Right. And then slowly over time, the ship, the older folks of the ship kind of retired or
died.
Well, did all of them die?
Well, there was only two. There was a husband and wife that owned the ship.
Right, but there were other people on the crew.
There were other people on the crew, but the couple that owned the ship left the ship to Rion. They trained Rion to take their place. The husband died first, and then after that happened, the wife started training Rion to take her place. And, you know, teaching her, you know, how to negotiate, how to look for stuff, you know, tricks of the trade, how to make sure that your crew doesn't try to in your butt
backstab you.
And to make sure the crew respects what you say and being able to do anything that's necessary to make that happen, including some airlock diplomacy.
Which happened once.
Uh-huh. So, you know, it's... Oh, I really enjoyed the book. It's a good story. It was a nice, fresh look into the universe.
Having that human side, civilian side, and then seeing all the tie-ins from the rest of the universe that we've seen. Mm-hmm. So, like, we have the tie-in from Halo 5. We have the tie-in from Nightfall. We have the tie-in from Halo Wars. There are so many tie-ins from different pieces of the universe.
Yeah, we've only mentioned a few of them. There's several cookies in there for the lore nuts. And the way they do it, it doesn't detract from the story. It doesn't make the person that's reading it that has never read any other novel say, well, what the hell is this referring to?
Right. It's really well done.
Uh-huh. And
it makes Retribution even that much better because there's even more references and there's more expansion on this story. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we finally get to hear the finish of another story.
Yes.
But we'll have to save that for the next review.
Yes. So that is Smoke and Shadow, or our little tidbits. Renegade, sorry, not Retribution. Thank you, Pence.
Yeah, Renegades.
Get this too mixed up, just saying them. Yeah, so Renegades will be the next book. And again, this is just our tidbits. This is what we kind of found interesting. If you want a full breakdown, there's Podcast Evolved and Halo Completion that you can, or conversation, or read the book, or listen to the book. Listen to it too.
I would highly recommend this one, as it is a really good one to listen to. I think Scott Brick is the narrator, and he does a really good job, if I remember correctly.
Podcast Evolved just did an interview with him not too long ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to look, but he does a really good job, and I'm very happy with what they did.
Mm-hmm. So here's the question for the next show. Do we do this sequel to the book? So do we do Renegades for the next show, or do we want to skip a week? We can do our...
I'd save it for April.
Okay. So...
Unless we just get really hard up for something to do.
I mean, it's like the story right after this story, so if we wanted to get it done, we could. And because I'm kind of holding off on reading another book until I can dump my brain of this before I start infiltrating it with more information.
Oh, come on. It's up to you. If you want to do the next one next week, we can do that. We did kind of skip a couple of months without doing one. So
yeah, trying to catch up a little bit. So yeah, we'll either do Renegades next week. Well, I guess let's give people time to read it if they want to read it. So we'll save Renegades for at least a couple weeks out, if not 3 or 4 weeks out. And then next week we'll do our Community Projects Update podcast. Then hopefully the week after that we'll start having some more guests on the show. There are some in the queue. It's just getting this scheduled, or getting them on the schedule to be a part of it.
I will say that Renegades book cover is one of my favorite of all the book covers.
And I now know why. I now know why. All right. So again, we're going to do Renegades for their next book. So if you want to read it before we talk about it, you've got your homework to do. And yeah, we'll go from there. Wrapping up the show, we've got our social media. So if you want to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, you can do that. We also have our streaming platforms. We stream on Twitch, Mixer, and YouTube. Our live streams are Thursdays at 8:30 p.m., which is when we do our podcast. Fridays at 8:30 p.m., where we do our Fraggin' Friday, hosted by Godzilla T. And we've got our Sunday streams, which is where I do my achievement hunting, and that's at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And right now I'm doing Halo Wars 2 with Bobby, and we've said that if there's anyone else that wants to participate in getting achievements in Halo Wars 2, just let us know. You can also interact with us in our Discord. Again, that's where you can go and vote for what we're going to be playing on Fragging Friday. We also have our Spartan Company and our Xbox Club that you can find as well. We also have several places you can listen to the podcast. We are on iTunes, Spotify, Google, TuneIn, and most other podcast services that you can find us. There's a place where you can't find us that you would like us to be. Just let us know where that is, and we will try to get on that podcasting service. And then you can support the community. We do have a Patreon that we launched just a couple weeks ago, and finances are probably tight for a lot of people right now. So if you want to hold off on supporting us through Patreon, that totally makes sense. There's been quite a few other Patreons that have suspended their subscriptions for the month of April. We're still pretty new, and since we just launched, I figure this people if people want to wait to contribute, they will do that. So we do.
Yes, most definitely. Take care of yourself first.
Yes.
If you have the extra, feel free to donate it. But yes, take care of yourself.
Yes.
You're no good to us if you're not there.
Exactly. But shout outs to Clifford Wilson and LeBurkass for being Patreon supporters. Thank you for your contributions to the show. You can also support us through Amazon. So if you go to podtacular.com/Amazon, we get a little cut of any purchases that you make, as long as you click through that link before you check out. It's another little way to help out the show. You can also donate to us directly if you would rather do that. We have a little PayPal donation thing set up. So if you want to do that, podtacular.com/donate. And then check out the Halo Hub for all of your community content sharing and community content consummation needs. That is going to be it for this episode. Anything else before we wrap it up for the night, GT?
Sure. Shameless plug. Just want to let you know with the current environment that we are in, I have resumed streaming on my personal channel. You can find me on Mixer at Godzilla Todd. I am streaming Tuesday through Friday from 3 p.m. Central Time to 5 p.m. Central Time. I'll be doing a mix of things. Right now I'm doing Destiny, MCC, and Halo. Tomorrow night I'll be doing Halo 5. And I look to be actually doing something a little off the beaten path. It's not gaming related. I'm actually looking at seeing if I could take you all into my garage to watch me work on stuff, if you are so inclined mechanically. I've got a couple of projects that I will be working on, and I figured, what the heck, I'll go ahead and throw it up on Mixer and see if anybody wants to watch. Just trying to help out with the quarantine people. You know, give you something else to watch. I know there's a lot of YouTubers out there and a lot of people out there on Mixer and Twitch. I appreciate anybody that tunes by or stops by. Like I said, I do it for fun. I'm just there to try to entertain you. I'm not trying to make a living at it or anything. So I hope you have fun working from home, Dust. but you can, like I said, you can find me at Godzilla Todd on Mixer, and you can. If you want, you can follow me on Twitter at Godzilla Todd as well to get to see when I go live.
Very nice.
And I look forward to seeing you guys out on my streams. And be sure to tune in tomorrow night for Fraggin' Fridays. We'll be right here on Twitch, Mixer, and YouTube. Party starts at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We will have the poll up on our Discord, so if you are going to join in, please feel free to vote and let us know what you want to play.
Indeed. All right, everybody, thanks again for listening. We will see you all hopefully tomorrow, if not next week, for another episode. Until then, keep on fragging them trucks.